is Pfizer executive admits that Pfizer engaged in criminal gain of function research. For commercial gain.
That's my headline tomorrow.
under the guise of calling it something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because gain of function research is, I think most of us know, is illegal in the United States. That's why the NIH could no longer do it at the University of North Carolina. When that was discovered, they outsourced it to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and probably other places, funneling the money at least to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, laundering the money through Eric, Ego Health Alliance.
Aaron, please keep in mind that Pfizer is global. It has extremely tight relations with Israel.
Yep.
Israel has not signed the biowarfare treaty. Pfizer is able to do this type of work anywhere in the world at any point in time, and does not need to be constrained by U.S.
Yeah,
law.
No, that's a very good point.
I mean,
Robert.
Okay,
and we still have not seen the Pfizer contracts with Israel, as far as I can recall.
I released.
Do we have that?
With Israel and the Pfizer on their Israel being their control group.
Can you post a link to that at the top of the spaces?
Yes,
that would be great, Melissa.
By the way, we also have 17,500 people listening right now. This space will be going on for a while. It's recorded, so for those who are missing it, they can listen to it again later. But everyone who's here right now, this is a groundbreaking story. This is something, you know, that you don't see often. I recommend that you go to Project Veritas Twitter and retweet the tweet that was made about the Twitter space starting. Just put that out there on your Twitter. Yes. Everyone can see how many people are already in here.
So this, the only other story, this is James O'Keefe, the only other story that compares in terms of its riveting nature is the Amy Robach, Jeff Epstein, because these people, she was talking during commercial break so openly and candidly in a way that we don't see people on mainstream networks talk. And likewise, we don't see Pfizer scientists and Pfizer senior directors talk like this.
Yeah.
It's so honest and raw. Okay, we have Tom Fitton, head of Judicial Watch, raising his hand. Tom, your response to this?
Well, it's incredible news again, James. Congratulations on advancing the public health and the public interest here. And I think it should raise alarm bells. I mean, we just presume that Wuhan did it, right? And the dirty little secret is that gain-of-function research was widely conducted in China with the funding of the United States. And concurrently, it was also happening here in the United States. And not necessarily in level 4 labs, but labs with much weaker biological containment protocols. And of course, this fits in nicely with the story that emerged out of the Daily Mail about 6 or 7 weeks ago, highlighting how Boston University was also messing around with COVID using these gain-of-function techniques. And so now we're going to have to suffer, be warned, James, and everyone else talking about this issue, with weeks of fact checks and explanations as to why this isn't gain-of-function. But gain-of-function is part and parcel, it's clear, of this portion of the medical establishment in their analysis of these viruses, and they think it's appropriate. And when people think that it's illegal, it's not illegal as they pretend they're doing it. Okay, so it was set up again where you can be doing it within certain guardrails, and they're pretending they're following all the guardrails, when in fact, in my view, they're engaged in fraud. So I think there needs to be criminal investigations of this type of activity. I think that should have been the kind of the focus with Fauci and EcoHealth, and you know, now Pfizer has some explaining to do, and it helps for listeners to remember that this isn't the first expose, and I'm sure you've probably talked about this already, James, that James has exposed about Pfizer's, you know, internal concerns about the vaccines that they shared with all of us who were doubtful on the outside, you know, but they didn't want to publicize it. And Pfizer, recall, you know, as Judicial Watch uncovered, was working, it looks like, the documents strongly suggest, with the FBI to go after James for doing this type of work His story's back, I guess it was the winter of 2021. Pfizer's playing hardball, and you can see why they were willing to try to, it looks like working with the FBI, put James in jail for exposing this type of not only this activity, but their internal concerns about the vaccines.
A reminder here that James, until recently, and Project Veritas were banned on Twitter, and only because Elon took over and released these accounts from their bans can we now learn about this stuff. This incredible investigative journalism that is really breaking news here with new COVID developments out of Pfizer that really put in question what is the role of Pfizer in all of this COVID-19 mess. You know, they were the biggest profiteer from the vaccine sales. Over half a trillion dollars have been paid for vaccines by governments around the world. What is Pfizer's role in the origin of COVID-19? That is the next big question, because when you have a scientist at Pfizer admitting that they are working on mutating the virus in order to develop custom-made vaccines for that mutation, then one thing that needs to be clear to anyone here listening, they would also have to release that mutation into the public in order to be able to benefit from it.
I just want to go back to something that Tom Fitton said, because I think that's really important and a hidden aspect of this. So this is James O'Keefe. Tom at Judicial Watch got documents from the Department of Justice. This is in the fall of 2021. I think it was September or October. We're going to repost those momentarily. And the documents from the DOJ told Judicial Watch that the Department of Justice has records of communications between the FBI and Pfizer about Project Veritas. We were wondering, why is the FBI talking to Pfizer about investigative journalists? And it's just, this whole thing is just, I think it's just pushed people to the edge. People are pissed off, indignant, and have a conscience, and now it's all starting to happen. Let's see, Tom, you have another follow-up to that? I see your hands raised.
I don't, thank you.
Raheem, what's your reaction?
Oh, hi there, guys. Yeah, thank you. And James, and the whole Veritas team, Matt, Eric, and, this is really, I think, we have to stress, far, far larger than I think it might seem on first viewing. I watched this a couple of times in a row, and then we put the story up on the site as well. And it kind of, I went back through everything we know about Wuhan, the original, tale that we were told about all of that. And I think there are really three massive, massive aspects to this, right? One is the news side, of course. The second is the political side, which Matt has touched on as well. And the third part is the international side. And the reason that is so interesting as well to me is that, you had a member of the British Parliament, Andrew Bridgen, who was recently kicked out of the Conservative Party for daring to talk about vaccine damage and raising these questions and questions that are being raised to him by his constituents. And of course, that reminded me that it was parts of the British intelligence apparatus and indeed the Parliament itself, which came out quite a while ago and talked about the Wuhan lab, more so than was being done here in the United States. And I think when you watch this guy, several things jump out, of course. And for us, we've focused on the virus origins quite a lot. The fact that he was so flippant and jocular talking about the origins of COVID-19 and how, his belief effectively is that it did stem from the Wuhan lab. I think that, for a start, is going to be a thread that lots of people are going to want to pull on, right? Because as you will say, this is not a junior level employee. This is not somebody so sort of far flung from Albert Bourla and the management mechanisms at Pfizer. So what documentation, what emails are there? What internal communications are there inside Pfizer? And indeed, communications with authorities, governmental authorities all around the world, talking about the virus origins, if this is how one of their senior people are talking. The other part that's really interesting, the political political part to me is the lobbying stuff, right? We've seen, James, you mentioned those media clips, right? Sponsored by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer, all of these news shows and journalists who are effectively compromised out of even having an op-ed on this, let alone writing news stories on the matter. But it's also the lobbying aspects of it. And what this chap says in your footage, he talks about the revolving door between government and big pharma. And that's going to be really interesting too. Who are the lobbyists that they've hired? Which politicians' offices had they worked in? I actually put up a 30-tweet thread in response to your video that came out earlier, revealing some of the things that we found out over the last 3 years about this stuff. So the lobbying links, I think, are going to be massive on this too. And then lastly, I think a lot of people forget that the United States is one of the only countries in the world that still discriminates against non-citizens coming in if they are not vaccinated. The USA, if you are not a citizen of the United States or a permanent resident, will not allow you, either if you're in the country, back out and then back in, or just back in general. And so how does this impact all of that, while they are talking about the experiments they are doing to prolong this situation, spending the money, lobbying the politicians to keep that situation in place, and of course backing it all up with their media allies. So I doff my cap to all of you. This is a massive smoking gun, and I just wanted to lay those questions out there.